Well, this evening I want us to study Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. This is the chapter on the roll call of the faithful. But in the first six verses, we are given a definition of faith and the significance of that faith in our lives. And particularly, we're going to focus on verse 6. As you and I live our lives on a daily basis, we have challenges before us. We have decisions to make. And what we believe in our hearts is what we should be basing those decisions on. And what we believe about God is also a very significant part of the decision making that we make on a daily basis. And so we're going to be looking at God, how He's revealed Himself to us in Scripture, and then look at how we make our decisions. Do they match? Do they match? That's the key thing. So Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time to worship you. Thank you for your word that you've given to us, because you've revealed yourself to us through your word, who you are, who we are separated from you because of sin, and how we are removed from that deadness of sin in our lives through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the life that we have in Christ and how we're to live that life on a daily basis. And so, Father, please instruct us by your Holy Spirit this afternoon that we would be able to discern in our own minds and hearts, am I living a life that is really pleasing to you? And when I talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is what I'm saying biblically based and true of you? And so, Father, I pray that you'll instruct us this afternoon. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we notice in verse 6 a very important truth here about the faith that you and I have in Christ. And it's a faith that's living, that's active. And it's a faith that you and I live by on a daily basis. And it's by this faith that you and I face life on a daily basis. And the decisions that you and I make during this life that we're in should be directed by God the Spirit on the truth of His Word. Not what we think about His Word, but what the Word actually says. So let's go through verse 6. First of all, we look in verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we begin with everything that I think, say and do in my life, is it an act of faith in the true and living God? Everything. And quite a bit of our lives is so routine, we probably don't think about exercising our faith and trusting in God in every detail. But yet that's what this is saying, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I can't please God if I'm living a life that is really not very strong in who God is and how He would have me to live. And so this is very important, that we see our faith being worked out in our lives on a daily basis. So without faith, it is impossible to please Him. This faith is having a strong confidence in God. No doubt. No hesitation. And sometimes that faith is weak. Sometimes we struggle in trusting God in some situations. That's because we're weak. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It just means I'm struggling right now and I'm having a difficult time right now because God, you're either moving so slow I can't see you working. So help me. Help me. Remember the man whose son was demon possessed, and he took his son to the apostles, and they couldn't cast out the demon. And Jesus, being busy with the multitudes, came to him and said, "What's going on here?" And the man explained to Jesus, and the guy says, "If you can heal him." "What do you mean, if I can? Only believe." And the man said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And there are times I pray that way. Help my unbelief. Help me where I'm weak. I don't doubt you. I don't hesitate about you. But Lord, right now I just can't get a clear vision or understanding of what's going on in my life. It's not working out like I would think it would. And in the manner in which things are going, I just don't see you in it. You ever thought that way? You ever felt like that? So we cry out, "Strengthen my faith. Help me to trust you." And so we have a strong confidence in God that He is who He says He is, and He is working in our lives. So then notice also the next line there. It is impossible to please Him. If we don't have faith in God, we can't please Him. It doesn't matter how many good works we do. It doesn't matter how many worship services we attend. It doesn't matter how much we give to the church. If it's not done in faith, it's not any good. And so our faith touches and is a part of every aspect of our life. Now, let's go on. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists." For whoever would draw near to God. It's like we were talking this morning. Drawing near to God means a closer relationship, a closer walk. It's interacting with God on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, getting to know Him better. And sometimes maybe we forget who He is and we don't remember who He is. And so drawing near to God, that's our responsibility, brothers and sisters. It's our responsibility to draw near to Him. He loves us. He draws us to Himself. But we have a responsibility of wanting to draw near to Him. Do I have, and do you have a desire in your heart as well as I have it in mine, to draw as close to God as we possibly can? And sometimes we get so busy in life and doing things that we begin to move away from God doesn't mean we're in some kind of sin and we're rebelling against God. It means we're not spending the time we need or the time that we should spend in focusing on the Lord and meditating on His Word. And that comes when you and I make time on a daily basis to read His Word and to meditate on it. It's got to be meditation on the Word of God, thinking about who He is and our responsibility before Him. So we draw near to God. And notice it says here that those who draw near to God must believe that He exists. We must believe that He is who He says He is. We are existing. We're living. God is a living God. He's the only true and living God. Do you believe in God as He has revealed Himself to us in the Scriptures? And that's very important, that you and I know God as He's revealed Himself to us in Scripture, not through a hymn book. So many things I hear come out of here. And anything and everything that you believe about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit must come from Scripture, grounded in Scripture. It's the only way you and I can draw near to God is, first of all, having Christ as our Savior, and then getting to know Him, drawing near to Him. Now, let's look at some names that you're familiar with. But as I was praying through this, I thought it's a good reminder for us to know God and His names, because He reveals Himself to us through those names. Now, the first name of God is El. It means being first, being Lord, and being strong. And so God has revealed Himself as a sovereign God and the only God that exist. Now, there are a lot of false gods. They're all over the place. And those false gods cannot do anything for anyone, not one single thing. Can you imagine taking a piece of wood or some kind of metal, bending it, molding it, setting it on a pedestal, and then bowing down and saying that that is God, and you've created that individual? That makes no sense at all. But what are gods in our lives that are idols? Contemporary idolatry. What gets most of our attention? What gets most of our devotion and our commitment and our love beyond or above God? That's your idol. That's my idol. And it's very subtle, so we have to be very careful with this. So El, being first, being strong, that's God. The next name is Elohim. Elohim, the omnipotent God, the God that is full of power. In the day in which we're living, we've got storms coming in, tomorrow and Tuesday. It's just amazing to me the power that is in these storms, and God controls the storms. It's just awesome. And we see the damage that these storms cause and the power they have in them. And yet God is even more powerful than that. And it's that same God, Elohim, that we pray to and that we ask for His strength to be in us. That spiritual power that we so need every day in our lives. And when we fall upon trying and difficult times where we just know, I don't think I'm going to get through this. And it's that power, that fullness of power, that we can call on God, Elohim, to give it to us. And you know what? He gives it. He gives it to us because we ask believing that He is and He has that power and He will give it. That's the God that we worship. Elohim. Adonai. Adonai is Lord. It's spelled with an uppercase L, lowercase O-R-D. And it means Almighty God. It means God who is subjecting all the powers of nature and making them subservient to carry out His divine grace. Also, we are related to Him as a servant. As a servant. In this, as this might come forth more in prayer than in any time, and then submitting our will to Him, and that is, God's in charge. I'm not. The Father made Jesus Christ the head of the church, not the pastor. And this is what you and I need to realize, that Jesus is the head of the church, that the Lord that we love and serve is in charge. And when you and I pray, we don't need to be praying in an attitude of giving Him orders and telling Him what He must do. We must go humbly before Him and submitting to Him. I used to think when I first became a believer, I would hear people pray and they would say, "Lord, not my will, but Your will be done." And I used to think that was a cop-out. So if God didn't do it, it didn't make God look bad. But that's a child of God pouring out his or her heart to the Lord like we're supposed to do, but at the same time submitting to the will of God because He knows what's better for us. And the best way you and I can pray is, "Lord, You have Your eternal decree. You have Your sovereign plan. And You're working it out in me. Please continue to do so. And just give me the wisdom to recognize it and to accept it." And sometimes that plan's hard to accept. And sometimes it's hard to understand. And sometimes we don't like it. But the bottom line is, we have the utmost respect for God and who He is and the way He's working. And it's very important for us to submit to that. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I've shared with you on other occasions how I'm teaching through this book with the men on Thursday morning. And we came across Ecclesiastes chapter 7 about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And verses 13 and 14 just really hit home to me and all the men in that study. The preacher has spent in the book 6.5 chapters searching for the meaning of life. You know, everything the preacher finds, he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then you get to the 7th chapter and verses 13 and 14. "Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what God has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what He has made crooked? Who can make straight means we don't have the ability to straighten out what God is doing. Now, this in no way means that God is the author of sin. But what it does mean is that from our perspective, my path is crooked now. My path is being bent in a way I don't like it. But I know God makes the path. And so, I can't straighten it out. I ask Him to straighten it out. But that's His plan. And God is immutable, which we'll see in just a moment. God doesn't change. He knows better. He's omniscient. So what I see is crooked and not good. From God's perspective, it's right on time and going the way He has designed it. Now, look at 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Man, I love it when that road is just smooth and just God's blessing us and just knocking our socks off. Go for it, God. I love that. And in the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other. Now, wait a minute, God. We've got to talk about this one. God has put and allowed us to walk through adversity at times. And we have to accept the fact that God is still God. God is still sovereign. God is still in control in the day of adversity. And so we submit to that. And then notice it says, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Nor the next day. All we know is what God's unfolding now. And God's showing us a crooked road. Some of us. Some of us got nice straight roads. God made both of them. Our responsibility is to be submissive to God and ask Him for the wisdom that we need to understand and a heart willing to submit. And that's not easy. That's not easy. Now go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in Romans 8, beginning in verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified in Him. I know I'm a child of God. You know you're a child of God. Because the Holy Spirit's telling us this. So we have the assurance of our salvation in the day of joy and in the day of adversity. Now go to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many. So So I know, and you know in your heart, you are a child of God. And you're walking that bent road. And then in verses 26 and 27, what do? We pray. We go to the Lord in prayer. We seek Him. Help me understand this. And as we pray, we also know that all things are going to work for my good and for your good. It might not look like it, but that's what God's Word tells us. It's going to work out for your good. And then in verse 29, we know that God is working in us to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's truth. And as a child of God and as children of God, we believe it, we accept it, and we move on. How do we move on? How is it? What's the attitude in my heart and in your heart in order to move on? Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We're going to look at a few verses here. Look at verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Fret not yourself. Fret. Fret means don't let it get under your skin. Don't let it rattle your cage. Well, that's easier said than done. Yes, it is. But that's what God says. Fret. And there are two types of people. Evildoers and wrongdoers. Evildoers are just ungodly. They're not believers. They do anything they want to. What about a wrongdoer? That's the individual that kind of takes control of that road and bends it and makes it bad for you, for me. And you don't have the ability to change it, and I don't either. You just have to roll with it. That's a wrongdoer. Don't let the wrongdoer get under your skin. Now, let's go down to verse 2. They, referring to the wrongdoer and the evildoer, they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. How many times have you and I said, this too shall come to pass? It'll pass. So what am I supposed to do in the meantime? Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. Have complete confidence and trust in God. Which gets back to praying. Which gets back to God directing you what He wants you to do while you're going through that bent road or that crooked road. But as you and I walk this road, and as it's difficult and trying, then you and I are going to do good. We're going to be above reproach. We're not going to be ungodly. We're going to stay on that straight and narrow road, and we're going to watch God. Our confidence is in God. Now, let's go to verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord. Delight in the fact of who the Lord is. He's El Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai, Yahweh. That's who God is. That's the God you and I love and trust in and walk with on a daily basis. And we can trust in Him. So we trust in Him and we delight in that. Lord, I thank You that You are who You are as You've revealed Yourself to me. And I thank You that You are sovereign and that You are in charge. And eventually this road that I'm on is going to work out and it will eventually be for my good. It might not look like it now, but eventually it will. I trust in You while I'm on this crooked road. Then in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. Commit your way. Commit your path. How you're going to conduct yourself. How I'm going to conduct myself. Commit that to the Lord. Lord, You show me this path. You keep me on it. Commit your way to the Lord. And look at the name Lord. Yahweh, the most sacred name of God. The immutable God. Never changes in His being and in His relationship with you. So you can count on Him. You can trust Him. The next line is trust in Him. Complete confidence in Him. And look at the next line. He will act. He will act. Now, here's a hard thing on us, brothers and sisters. He doesn't give a time frame. He doesn't say when. All of us want to know when, right? You going to work this out in the next 5 or 10 seconds? No, He doesn't say that. He just says, He will act. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Oh, come on. Be still before the Lord. The verb to be still means to be calm. In other words, don't go nuts. Don't lose it. Calm down. Our emotions, if we're not careful, our emotions take over instead of our theology. Instead of the Spirit of God directing my emotions. And this is never good. So be still. Be calm. Wait patiently for Him. Oh man, this is killing me. Wait patiently for Him. The verb to wait patiently means to watch God while you wait. Watch Him work. He is working. Sometimes He's awfully slow, but He has told us He will act. He will act. And He is acting. And we must see Him acting by faith and watch Him work. He will act. Then the next line, fret not yourselves of the one who prospers in his way, of the man who carries out evil devices. Don't let them get under your skin. Look at 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. And there's the emotional part. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. You and I need to be so careful that we don't let wrath and anger take control of us. And that is a battle and a half for some of us. It's hard. But remember Elohim, the omnipotent God, who has the power to give to you and me to enable us not to let the anger and the wrath take over. And look what happens about that anger and wrath. It tends only to evil. It hurts, but it only causes more trouble. One of the things I pray a lot is, Lord, keep this donkey's mouth shut. Keep it shut. Put a guard on my mouth. Put a guard on my heart. Help me, Lord. And this is how we walk the crooked road. And when you and I walk the crooked road in that manner, you and I will remain above reproach. charges can be laid at our feet. Accusations can be made, but they can't stick because there are no grounds. That's how we walk the crooked road. And we walk it because of who God is. If we walk it in the flesh, it's all over. But if we walk it in the Spirit of God, as God directs us, He's going to be honored. And based on Romans chapter 8, it is going to work out for our good. I can't see that happening right now in my life, but I know that's the truth of God's Word, and it is going to work out for my good. I will trust God in that. Does that mean I'm not an anxious person? Yeah, I'm anxious. But I pray. Pray often. And I make it through it. But it's not easy. Life is not easy. We look at the name El Shaddai. God subjecting all the powers of nature and making them subservient to the work of His divine grace. All this power God has, He uses that for the purpose of His divine grace working in you and me, helping us not to fret, helping us not to have wrath and anger. You experience and I experience the power of God in us when we don't walk that path of anger and wrath. And then Yahweh is the most sacred name of God, covenant God of grace, immutable. Covenant faithfulness. God will never leave you. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forsake me. He never will. And when you read the Old Testament, He never did. I mean, the Israelites were a bunch of jerks. They were not real obedient at times. But God never did forsake them. And He will never forsake you and me. And so we walk the crooked road. It's no problem walking the straight road. Let's go for it. It's that crooked one that's so hard. Brothers and sisters, don't forget who God is when you're walking the crooked road. He's with you every step of the way. Shall we stand? Father in heaven, thank You for Your love to us in Christ. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us through Your Word, reminding us this evening of who You are and how we can trust You. Lord, help us not to fret. Help us to commit our way to You. Help us to trust You. Help us to be still. Help us to wait patiently on You. And help us to watch You act. Thank You that You're always with us. And Lord, as we walk the road that You have set before us, we keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Thank You for the instruction this afternoon. And may we take this instruction and by the power of the Holy Spirit, live it out in our lives beginning right now. And I pray for brothers and sisters here this evening who are on that crooked road and know how difficult it is. Oh Lord, give us Your power. May we experience it in a personal and real way. Dismiss us with Your grace, mercy, and peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.